Hello. So I said there's 96 people out the back, I think, something like that, so I was told. So there's no fighting over cake, no fighting over tea and coffee, but it's fantastic to see so many of you here. And it actually shows, actually, doesn't it, what kind of person Sue is. Because she's not gone in that sense. She's still alive, isn't she? And it's good that we are here this afternoon to celebrate together her life and to remember her as she was and to think and to discuss and to chat together after the service today. You all from here from different walks of life. Some of you have been working with Sue in ministry for many years. Some of you are people in the community who used to keep fit. Some of you are from Twynham at home. Some of you are from all sorts of areas of the life of the church. Of course, the church family here at Twynham as well. And those, some of you were part of the family at Twynham here now elsewhere. But the net of connection with Sue is very, very large indeed. And that's fantastic. And such a blessing to her, to Doug, to the family, and to us all. So it's good that we're here. We're going to have a service that is predominantly nothing to do with me, which is great, because I've done my bit already. But it's great to have people coming up and to share and to read and to think and to pray. And so the first person I'm going to ask up this afternoon, ask me not to tell you who they are, because they're going to do it themselves. So, stranger.
Good afternoon, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Morgan Barnett, and I'm the oldest grandson of my nan. And today I'm going to be reading a verse that my nan has been carrying around with her ever since she was a Christian. So I'm going to read it to you all, and in her honour. So here it is. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and once again, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Morgan. Steve's going to come up and say a prayer.
Thank you, Rob. I'm Steve. Like so many of you, I'm privileged to be able to call Sue friend. We're going to pray together, and I wonder if we'd all like to bow our heads and just come together. For this moment, this is the very beginning of this service in prayer. It may be that you've had a difficult journey here. It may be that you haven't quite settled yourself in. So before we actually pray, let's just bow our heads and have a minute or so's just silence so we can just reflect and just bring our thoughts back on track and start just thinking about our dear friend, Sue. Lord God, we thank you for the life of your servant, Sue, a loving wife, mother, grandmother, sister, auntie, and friend. Thank you that we can gather together in your presence, surrounded as we are by such a great cloud of witnesses, to remember and celebrate the life of Sue and to draw comfort from the certain knowledge that she is with her Lord and Savior, free now from suffering and pain. Lord, as we remember Sue's irrepressible sense of fun, her faith and her love and commitment to so many, may our thoughts be of her joy, her compassion, kindness, patience, and Christian service. But Lord, there will be tears as well as laughter. There will be sadness as well as thanksgiving. Lord, through all this, be ever present by your Spirit, we pray. Thank you that you are the God of compassion and consolation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We ask that your comfort is so real and present to us today Lord, surround and encourage and strengthen all those who miss Sue so much. Be especially, we pray, with Doug, and continue to be his strength. Be with their children, Stephen and Sarah and Duncan and Justine. Be with their grandchildren, Morgan, Charlie, Indy and Mia, and her sisters, Pat and Helen, and the rest of her family. And Lord, be with her church family, who have known and loved her. A family so wide and extensive that it is so evident in those present today. We are representatives of the many thousands that Sue has impacted and enriched through her life and her ministry. Lord God, we give you our thanks for Sue, for her life of service and love, for the joy she has given, and for the memories she has left us. Thank you for the faith and love of Christ that fueled her life and character, and so richly blessed those who knew her. Lord, we now commit the service of thanksgiving into your hands. May we know the power today to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and in so doing, honor him and remember with deep, deep gratitude the life of our dear Sue. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a hymn. Doug said we're going to print out 150 service orders, and I thought that's not going to be enough. So we're going to project onto the screen as well. So if you haven't got a service order, or you can't share one, or you can't see it, don't worry, we are going to project that on the screen. And we're going to sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer." Thank you, Terry. Like to sit down. We're going now to have some family thoughts led by Duncan, Steve, and Louise. So, Duncan, did you want to go first? You may not want to go first, but you're going first.
Hi. One thing my mum would say if she were here now would be cheer up,
Everyone would think you're at a funeral.
And if there's one thing out of the many, many things that Mum has instilled in me, and I'm assuming everyone else that she's touched, is her positivity.
I'll hold the mic up, Dad. Okay.
She was the most positive person I ever known, and with all these people here, it just goes to prove that everything, she has touched so many hearts, and when the inevitable happened almost 4 weeks ago now, the amount of cards and messages that we got through just overwhelmed me, and that was one of the main things that touched me more than anything else. The fact that there's almost 100 people out the back, and there's could well be people out in the car park as well trying to hear as well. That it's the positivity that Mum had and instilled in me, and I'm sure in Steve and everyone else, that has touched so many people. And I didn't really prepare for today's speech because I didn't really know what to say, and if I prepare I overthink. And the main thing I wanted to say was the cheer up bit, because I knew that's what something that Mum would say, and it got the laugh it needed to. So I'll now pass you over to the more sensible one in the family.
So now we've got the two sides of my mother. We've got the fun side, and where we may not so much the fun side, or supposedly sensible side, who prepares? I think today, hearing what Rob had to say earlier on, and also what we will hear later, there must be a breeze going on here, is that there will be a theme through the next hour or so. I didn't know what Rob was going to say, I didn't know what Duncan was going to say, and I think some of the things that I will say very briefly now will be through today. Mum was a very selfless person. She put other people first. I think in life she wanted to become a teacher, very much so. She wanted to be a teacher. And I think she was a teacher, Dad, for 3 or 4 months?
Years.
3 or 4 years, maybe. But she met Dad very early in her 20s and had me very, very quickly after meeting Dad. And that... Yeah, you did, yeah. I have counted back on the months. August to May. Yes, okay. No, seriously. They were obviously married first. But Mum gave up that want to become a teacher, and she supported Dad. Dad was out. He was at church meetings. He was... going to weekends away, which obviously we got involved in as well. But she gave up that ambition to become a teacher to support us as a family. She always saw the best in every person and everything. I get, and I know Duncan does as well, we often get accused, in inverted commas, especially in business, of being too trusting of people. But that is a trait of my mum that I will never, ever say sorry for, because she was very trusting of people. Not only did she put people first, she was very trusting of them as well. And she would see the positive in every person. We've seen some of the pictures, and also Rob touched on this as well. She was the most competitive person in everything that she did. And that's good, because both Duncan and I are really into our sport, and we fill that through. But that was very much seen in pushing us forward and making sure that we made a good success of our lives, both in outside of life and within our Christian lives as well. She surprised me at the very last minute of telling me she was a Chelsea fan, which I didn't realise. But that was very surprising for me. And she was also somebody that never would give up on anyone or anything, be it sport or be it people within the church that she was that she's involved in. She told me a story once about being told not to become friends with somebody because they were a trouble, they were a problem within the church. And she made it her goal to befriend that person and get them alongside and help them. She lived her life completely as her Heavenly Father would have wanted her to. And Google helps me a little bit here. Maybe a few years ago I would have been able to pick this out straight away, but I didn't. But there was a verse that I wanted to just say that would sort of encapsulate Mum, and which was this: whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And that was Mum all round. She lived like a heavenly father. So I just want to say thanks, Mum, for being the rock to your three boys. We love you very much and we miss you. Thanks. Louise. Next.
So there was one other, Louise. She's not them. Okay. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing The Lord's My Shepherd. Terry?
Yes.
You ready?
Okay.
So we stand. Stand up then. To sit down again. Okay. Got a few more people to come and bring some memories of Sue to us now. And these are the people who used to play the naughty games, I think, with Sue. So this is Emma and Liz, and Megan and Maggie. And then I'm going to read something from Felix and Eve at the end of that. So, Emma.
So Sue Barnett was the most amazing lady. She was full of fun, she was full of love, and she was full of prayer. And I have so many fond memories of Sue Barnett, but I've just chosen a few. So I met Doug and Sue when I started here as youth pastor in 2002. And my flat wasn't quite ready for me, so Doug and Sue bravely offered that I could move in with them. Well, poor Doug, because Sue and I really ganged up on him. We often hid behind curtains together, under tables and in the spare room. and we would giggle as we could hear Doug shouting around the house looking for us. And one day, he shouted for so long, then we just stayed so quiet that he gave up thinking we'd gone out. When Sue was really poorly, just a few weeks before she died, I went to visit them, and we hid under the stairs in full view. And there we were, giggling, and Sue particularly thinking we are grown women hiding like children. I remember Sue's amazing cheese and onion toasties late at night after prayer meetings. I remember the way she'd walk around the house quoting great chunks of Bible that she had memorized. I remember the way she'd stand in the middle of the living room shouting at the telly whilst watching tennis and football, telling people how they should play the game. And in my mind's eye, I can see her sitting on her favourite spot on the sofa, where she'd write her prayer journal and writing her talks. Sue poured so much love and prayer and creativity into the talks that she wrote. She was amazing at taking everyday situations and using them to share a spiritual truth. And I'm sure there's thousands of people around the globe who understand spiritual truth better because of Sue Barnett. Everybody had potential in Sue's eyes. She always looks for ways to help them in their gifting or to share with them the love of Jesus. And she did that for me. She took a risk on me by inviting me to speak at a conference with her in Cardiff. This was a huge deal, but Sue gently encouraged me and helped me to prepare my talks. I'm a pastor now in Blandford Forum, and I speak regularly, and I love it. And a huge part of that is because of the way that Doug and Sue encouraged me and gave me opportunity, quite literally sharing their platform, their speaking platform, with me. I can hear her, she's saying, deep breath, Emma. Oh, Doug, that's what I was after. If you ever had a Doug Barnett tissue, they're worth crying for. They smell amazing. Sue lived through a time in church history where being a woman in ministry was tough and not always appreciated it. She handled it with poise and grace, and she didn't get involved too much in theological debate, but instead she got on with what she felt God had put before her. I remember one time when I got myself into a right old pickle, or a right old 2 and 8, as she would say, over some of the issues that women faced in ministry. And she very wisely said to me, Emma, you don't need a title to do the things that God has called you to do. Just get on with them. I've shared that wisdom with so many people since. A few years ago, Doug and Sue invited me to go to Lebanon with them on a prayer walk. And visiting the Middle East was really scary for me because I thought I might be kidnapped. Once they'd reassured me that wasn't going to happen, I think, Doug, you said, don't worry, Emma, you're not important enough to get kidnapped. Which really greatly reassured me. We got to Lebanon and we walked and we walked and we walked. We walked from the border of Israel to the border of Syria. I had blisters on my blisters. My legs ached and it was flipping hot. But Doug and Sue Barnett could have walked all the way back to Christchurch. And I remember sometimes when I was moaning about the pain, Sue would say, come on, we're going to sing. So there we were on the streets of Lebanon with bullet holes in the walls, shouting and singing at the top of our voice children's praise songs. And then she said, let's pray through the alphabet. And she would start and she'd say, God, I thank you for the Arab nations. I thank you for bananas. I thank you for the Christians that live in Lebanon. And I could still hear the sound of Sue's laughter as we tried to work our way through the alphabet over and over again, step by step, getting closer to the border. Sue was a prayer warrior. She prayed hard. She quite literally walked and ran hundreds of miles praying for those that she loved and praying for the things that were on God's heart. And I know thousands of people have been changed and situations changed because of Sue's prayers. There's loads more I could say, but my last memory that I'll share today is this one. For a good number of years, Sue ran a Keep Fit class here at Twynham on a Thursday evening. I'm not really a person that enjoys exercise, but she bribed me. And I came and we had fun times and she made it fun. Does anybody remember the I must increase my... Yeah, there's an extra verse. We'll do that another time. Steady. Anyway, at the end of the workout, she would get us all to lay on this floor. And she'd put a track of music on the CD player. And it was my favourite time of the evening, apart from the biscuits afterwards. And there was one song that she'd play, which was called Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And it was about someone who had died and gone to heaven. And in heaven, they met people who had been changed because of what that person had done on earth. And the chorus says this, Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. So Susan Barnett, Susie B, my lovely friend, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad that you gave.
Am I on? Okay. Deep breath, Liz Crockford. I need some tranquilizer, I think, at the moment. a few words, and just so many people have said so many of the same things, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. It just means that it really, really was the case. How do I remember Sue? Well, one day I walked down Barrett Road, I turned left, and I came to church. And I heard something, which I later heard was the gospel message. And I was changed, just like that. I felt really, really vulnerable. And I thought, what on earth do I do now? So I went in the back and sat down next to a nice lady who was smiling at me. And then I spilt the beans. I said, I don't know what's happened, but I've just heard about the death of Jesus and about forgiveness of sins and I don't know what to do now. And so she just chatted to me and prayed with me. And that was weird. That was really weird. We met up for coffee after that and we chatted more. And that was what Sue was like. She just came alongside me on that day when I didn't know what was happening and she just scooped me up. It was amazing and the beginning of amazing friendship. We later began to meet every week, and we were joined by Linda Fay and Jill Durham. I knew you're here somewhere. But we just met and talked and prayed through things like, what is it? What is baptism? What is the bread and the wine? Weird. What are all these things? And she just really delighted in our naivety, really. She loves the fact that we ask loads of questions, especially the one about baptism, and I said, you'll never get me doing that. 3 weeks later, we cared and we shared for each other and our families and for life's issues. She talked to us at our level and she was just amazing. She described us as a breath of fresh air, which was amazing from her. We started meeting together with our other halves as well, Peter and Terry and Steve. And Doug used to take Steve for a pint and talk about faith and football. We used to have roasts and curries, and within a very short period of time, all of the men also gave their lives to Christ and became Christians, which was just an amazing thing and just shows the impact that Sue had upon so many people. But those around her, it's like a ripple going out and attracting people to God and to Jesus. Amazing. Interestingly, Steve and I were runners at the time. I say were runners. We still pretend we run, but we don't do a lot of it. We try. But we were runners at the time, and Sue said, right, I'm getting you into the Christian faith, and you can get me into running. So she tried. She said she was very asthmatic at first, and she wouldn't go out with me. She used to run over St. Catherine's Hill on her own, much against my advice, but there we are. But anyway, eventually she started running with me, and I would offer training tips, like things like little gems from Steve. Things like, well, Steve says, you run hard up the hill, and when you get to the top, you can stop and smell the roses. To which Sue would always say, stuff, Steve. And that was it, wasn't it? You can hear her saying it. But she did call him Stevie Wonder as well, so I suppose she did love him very much. She loved also the spiritual lessons that running could bring. And in her book, Keep On Running, she shared with her experiences of running with her Christian faith, particularly that verse, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, race marked out for us. That was very much one of Sue's special verses as well. Well, Sue and Doug continue to have a massive impact on our lives, encouraging and supporting Steve to go to Moorlands, involving us in the sports team at Salt Mine Holidays in Southwold, and as the newly emergent Professor Phenomenal and the Queen of Egypt at Spring Harbour. It's all very weird, really is, but still. We had some wonderful times, and a highlight for me was when Sue took me to New York, where she also got me up on the platform. This is a bit of a theme, isn't it? And had me speaking to women, to a women's conference, about being fit for the King. A wonderful time. I always found that Sue was so interested in people and her families. She accepted you as you warts and all. There we are. Warts and all, a lot of those. She listened. You couldn't say anything that would shock her. She usually said things that could shock you, but it was just, I even tried to say really awful things just to make her laugh, because she never judged and she just really enjoyed a bit of fun. She was caring and tender, cared deeply for people. She adored her family, all of you lot. She was totally committed to her friends and to this church and her church family. She loved everyone, really. And if she didn't, she made, as Emma said, she made it her purpose in life to get alongside people and to find what made them tick. She loved the closeness of her house group, Doug and Sue's house group, which draws us to go together both in good and bad times. And she was passionate about sharing her faith, an amazing prayer warrior, which has also been said. Best of all for me, she was hilariously funny and had I wasn't allowed to say wicked, Steve said, but it really was a wicked sense of humour. She would always see the funny side of things, and she and I had to avoid eye contact if Doug and Steve were being really serious about anything, because we'd just fall over laughing because of their theological debates and things. We just look at each other every now and then, go, ooh, or ooh. That was what we did. And you laughed with us, didn't you, Doug? In her book, Fit for a King, Sue said that Jesus was completely taken up with people. He loved them, he spent time with them, and he had compassion on them. Wherever he went, they were naturally attracted to him, and they came to love him. Sue said we needed to be like him. And I think she was that. She was just that. She had a profound impact on our lives, for me and Steve, and obviously on the lives of so many. And I'm eternally thankful to God that Sue has been such a dear friend and had such an influence on my life. Thank you.
So we wanted to share our testimony in the form of a poem, just to show how much Sue impacted our lives. So. She was a woman of God, filled with the Spirit and courage, and was sent on a lengthy mission before her own knowledge. Just babies in the womb, we hadn't a clue that Sue came to know us before we knew Sue. A light in the darkness, she has spiritual expertise. When born premature, we need some machines to breathe. Sue came to the hospital and prayed over the cot, opening our hearts to the breath of God. Sue instilled in us faith in our very first days, and as we grew daily, Sue guided our ways. Sue stood by our side as we were christened at 3. We now had the honour of a godmum and church family. She prays for us always, going above and beyond. As we grew slightly older, we formed a special bond. We watched from the sidelines as Sue baptized our parents. Here she opened our eyes to such a godly presence. Fast forward to the time we gave our lives to the Lord, a prominent moment that can't be ignored. At the church service here, Sue gave her testimony. God spoke his word through Sue and reached the faith in me. Only such acts could be done by a woman so dynamite. We prayed together as floods of tears fell from my eyes. And as for me, it was when Sue did keep fit. We did star jumps, jogging, and of course other bits. She spoke so incredibly about Jesus' sacrifice. As he ran by her side, it brought her closer to Christ. I was overwhelmed by the Spirit. Sue fulfilled her mission, because on that day, I became a Christian. We grew into young ladies, and Sue became our mentor, showing us that God was the focus of what we lived for. A woman of God, Sue was able to offer such advice and wisdom, opening our hearts to the word of God's kingdom. So it was heartbreaking to be told about Sue's illness, but that did not lead to any rest or stillness. Oh no, a woman of strength, she pursued the Lord, touching so many more lives, so they were spiritually cured. Such an exceptional woman, she turned bad into good. She continued to fight the cancer, just like we knew she would. As she grew frailer and unwell, some may think this was the end, but it was really the beginning of the time we could spend serving her and returning just a fraction of what she did for us, sharing quality time and talking about Jesus. Still a twinkle in her eyes, a look you cannot forget. Love, kindness and mischief were her biggest assets. She breathed the word of God into so many lives, and until her final breath, she served the Lord our Christ.
They too are very capable and creative, aren't they? I had an email sent via their mum Sue and through Doug, and it's from Felix and Eve Machimba, and it says this, and I just want to read it out. Dear Sue, we know you have left us to go to be with the Lord, and that is the best place to be. But those of us left here still feel that you went so suddenly, we did not have time to say a few more things to you. But what will be said here will be more for us who miss you so. We may need to hear these words to remind, comfort, and encourage, and encourage us to press on. Sue, your influence for God has been huge. You are a devoted wife, ministry partner to Doug, a wonderful mother to your family. Through your teaching, your writing, your personal counsel, you touch the lives of so many people in the UK and outside. We give thanks to God for your legacy and faith and obedience. We pray that Doug, your family, your friends will experience the deep comfort that the Holy Spirit can bring in such times of grief and loss. Farewell, Sue, until we meet again on the other side of eternity. Felix and Eve. I believe we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing Faithful One. So if you'd like to stand.
Faithful One, so unchanging.
If you can, please sit. I was conscious of the people who aren't able to sit. Craig, Sue and Mary are going to come up and do some readings for us now. One from Isaiah, one from Colossians, and one from Hebrews. Well done, guys.
Wonderful words, that song, wasn't it? Thank you for the privilege of being asked to come up and to read some scripture to you. It's a scripture that was very important to Sue, and no doubt a lot of you have heard it, because Sue would often quote it in her interactions with people. And there were they had special meaning to her as well, as you'll see as we go through them. Can you hold that, Mary, a sec?
Sir. So I've got mine in big print. Very big print.
So the first one is Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. And it says this. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men and women will fall in exhaustion. But those that trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen.
And I'm reading from Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. I can remember Sue at House Group sitting saying this, bear with one another. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
This is the passage that Sue memorized for her London Marathon. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such an opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thank you. Well, I arrived here about 12:30, quarter past 12, and someone came up to me and said, oh, can you let Doug know that the Pope is in the building? So I'm going to welcome the Pope up now to sing to us, Dave Pope. Thank you.
Thank you. Isn't that a great photograph of Sue on the front of the service? And looking at another one as well. Thanks, Doug. And just listening to those tributes and the memories, I found myself looking at that photograph and thinking, you know, Sue would really, in one sense, really enjoy being in something like this today to celebrate a life. And then it's her life, of course, and she is here in a very real way. So I want to say, girls, never be frightened of emotion. I'm dreading what I've got to do, because I'm actually quite emotional as well, but we should never be frightened of that. It's an expression of our love and of our commitment. And at the same time, there's laughter as well, and we've already had that. And as we come today to celebrate a life wonderfully lived, we celebrate and we think of a memory of a great mum, a great wife, a great grandma, great sister. She was a great encourager, amazing encourager, a wonderful Barnabas. I often describe Sue as being a wonderful Barnabas. She was a great athlete, frighteningly so. She was a great prayer. Whenever Sue said, "Dave, I'm going to pray for you," you knew things would happen. Because it was Sue. And she was committed to the power of prayer and releasing God's power of prayer into ministries all across the world. Doug, I feel very privileged you asked me to sing today, and I was particularly touched that you said that Sue had asked that on this particular occasion that there was one song that she wanted. I have to confess, it's one of my favorite songs. It's one of the most difficult to sing, particularly in an emotionally charged situation. But I'm going to do it because this is what Sue would have wanted. It's her song. She had a great passion for people, but she had a great passion for the Lord. And both come together so wonderfully in this song. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams is the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cause? Sharing life with one who's lost, and through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door.
God bless you, Sue.
That song is special to me and to Sue because we first heard it on the Dirty Hands tour, Dave. Do you remember? Yes. Cool. Are you that old? I didn't think you were that old, actually. Goodness gracious. Thank you, everybody, for coming, for those of you here in church and for those of you in the overflow as well. Thank you so much for coming. We really, as a family, we really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. And thank you for all those who've been helping in this service today, because it really has touched my heart. I'm sure it's touched the hearts of all of us. A couple of things I need to say before I just wind up and try and draw everything together with my thoughts and my memories of Sue. We talked a lot about Sue's books. She wrote three books, and one of them was republished. It was the book on prayer. And what we've done as a family, we've brought all those books that we have of Sue's book on prayer called Renewing Your Prayer Life. You'll find them on a table there and in a table in the foyer, and appropriately alongside donation baskets as well, but that's another story. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But the books are free. Please take one. If you've already got it, then take one and give it to somebody who might find it helpful in terms of prayer. This morning, when we were setting up the church, I came in early, and a lady came in through the doors and said, "Is this a church?" And we said, "Yes." She said, "Can I come in and pray?" We said, "Well, we are preparing for a funeral, but you're most welcome to come in to pray." Who would say to somebody, "This is a church, but you can't come in and pray in here"? No, mate, no. You go somewhere else and pray. Go to the fish and chip shop or something. You don't go in here. Well, you think this is a church? No. So we said, "Yes, come in." And she sat at the back there. And after I left her for a few moments and a few minutes. And then I came up to her and I said, "Look, the funeral today is for my wife. And she wrote a book on prayer. And I just wondered if you'd like it, if it would help you." So I gave it to her, and she was very grateful. And then later, as she left, I was told, "This lady is Lebanese. She's Lebanese." So I stopped her, and I had a chat with her. And she said, "I've been told that you and your wife went to Lebanon many times." I said, "Yes, we did." And so we had an amazing talk there in the doorway. So I felt God was at work, even from this morning, in a very special way, honoring Sue and her memory. We've got the donation baskets around. This is not to say, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. If you wish to make a donation in memory of Sue, then the two works that she was really, really committed to was the work in Lebanon, New Heights, Lebanon, and the Twynham Youth Group here called Get God that meets on a Sunday morning. And she was totally committed to that work. And we're going to share whatever donations are given between the two works already. And I can tell you this, already I've received prior to today over £600 towards that ministry. So if you can double that and triple that, that'll bless my socks off. It really will. One of my brothers, our brothers, he died a few years ago. And today Dave is here and Thelma's here. My sister, she was the best fighter in the family, and so we always wanted Thelma on our side, so don't get on the wrong side of Thelma today, I'll tell you that, as you'll end up flat on the floor. But and she'll pick your pockets and put it in the donation baskets. But, but we grew up in Spay Street in East London, in Poplar, just a mile or so from the docks, and We grew up in poverty. It wasn't extreme poverty, but it was poverty. And we lived in this street. And what I remember, just after the war, about 1946 it was, when I would have been about seven or so, we lived in a house in Spay Street, and outside our house was a lamppost. And it was a gas-lit lamppost. So during the winter, what used to fascinate me, I would stand in the front room, in Mum and Dad's bedroom, looking out the window, and I would watch the gas lamp lighter come along. This lamp post outside our house had an iron bar on it. Remember that, Phil? Dave, you remember that, don't you? And he would put his ladder against the iron bar, climb up and light the gas mantle. And I used to love watching him do that. But what I used to do also was, as he moved on up the street, because Spay Street was a very long street, as he moved up the street, I would come out of the house and I would stand and I would look in the direction where he was going. I could always see where the lamplighter had been, because he left pools of light in the darkness. And you could track his path by the pools of light he left in the darkness. That sums up Sue for me. That she left with her life pools of light in the darkness of people's experience. In fact, one of our home group, Lorraine, she said this to me. She said, Sue shone out for Jesus in this dark world and made such a difference. And that was absolutely true. And the verse I thought of to bring all this together for me was this. When Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said this about the Philippians: I thank my God every time I remember you. And that's what we've tried to do today, to thank God for our memories of Sue. I thank God, Sue, every time I remember you because of your fun. See, even when her pain in her cancer was at the most severest, she never lost her capacity for fun and laughter. And that's what filled our house. She had an exuberance for life, did Sue, and it spilled over in everything that she was involved in. Our grandchildren called her Naughty Nanny, because that's what she was. She was impish. She was mischievous. She was a pain in the neck at times, but she was fun. She was fun. And we used to do, Sue and I, Sue led it, a stretch with Sue on every other Monday morning at Cranley Church. And one of the ladies who came, not a believer as far as I understand, when she heard that Sue had died, she said this: oh, that was the lady that left a trail of happiness behind her. A great description, isn't it? See, Sue always claimed to be a big kid and loved being with children and young people and interacting with them. And one of the young people in the Get God group wrote this about Sue: she was always smiling. It was impossible not to be happy around her. And Sue's hairdresser, Jill, said this: Sue was always welcoming, funny, entertaining, and compassionate. She was. She was fun. She was good fun to be around. And in her preaching, she was fun as well. She was an imaginative speaker, as Emma's already referred to. She was always alert. She wanted to present the good news in a stimulating and an attractive and attention-grabbing way. So a number of years back, we were invited to be part of the Keswick team, which is, if you go to the Keswick team, get into the Keswick team, you're really sort of being in the sort of the A-class team, see? So we were invited to be part of that team, and we were invited to speak at the Sunday morning family service. So there were hundreds and hundreds in the tent, maybe 1,000 people in the tent. And we agreed that Sue would speak at this family service. And I remember on that Sunday morning, she stunned the whole crowd in the tent by turning up on the stage with an iron, an ironing board, and a basket of washing to be ironed. And she said she was going to preach on Paul's extreme ironing experience. And so she said, my text is this: we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. And she proceeded to iron as she preached. We've never been invited back. She was fun. But I thank God every time I remember you, Sue, because of your commitment to family. You see, we both believed that family is a gift of God. And although we can't protect our grandchildren and the people we love in family from the temptations of our world and culture and the movements in society away from God, we can't protect our children from that. They've got to go out and face that. But we can pray for them. We can pray, we can surround them and hedge them about with a wall of prayer. And that's what Sue did. Every day, guys, she prayed for you by name. Every one of you by name. And I continue to do that. We prayed together for you. And she never forgot to pray because she loved family. That's been already mentioned. She loved family. And she saw you all as a gift from God, a precious gift to be protected, to be shielded in any way we possibly could by the shield of prayer. We thank God for that. I thank God when I remember you, Sue, because you were so feisty. She was so, it means energetic, spirited, a very lively person. And that's what she was. She was uniquely herself and would always be herself. There was no flannel, no front, no fuss. What you see is what you got. What's written on the tin is what's inside. That was Sue. And she was never in any danger of surrendering her individuality to anybody else. She said to me one day, she said, Doug, don't try and make other people like you, because you know and I know and God knows one of you is enough for everybody. She was full of fun and energy. When we lived in Seven Kings, shortly after we got married, we lived in Seven Kings, and she went to speak at a ladies' meeting in Ilford, which is just down the road from Seven Kings. And after the meeting, the car wouldn't start for some reason. I don't know what it was, but it wouldn't start. So when she got home, eventually, she said to me, look, Doug, she said, I'm late home, she said, because I took this meeting, came out, and the car wouldn't start. It was December time, I think. And she said, so, but she said, you'd be proud of me, Doug, because I phoned the AA. I got their number, I phoned the AA. The AA came out, and they fixed the car for me. And I said to the bloke, I'm sorry, I haven't got my card. And he said, oh, that's all right, Mrs. When you get home, you phone the AA and give them the number. So she got home and she told me this story, and I said, good luck with the phone call, Sue. She said, there you go again. What's the problem? She said, I said, are you sure it was the AA? She said, of course I'm sure it was the AA. She said, it was a big yellow van with AA on the side of it. And as it didn't have rotor blades on the top, I knew it wasn't air ambulance. So I said, she said, I'm just going to phone the AA. I said, good luck with the phone call to the AA. And she said, why are you saying that? I said, because we're members of the RAC, Sue. And this is the last bit about this feisty bit, this spirited person. Just a few days before she died, probably a week before she died, the Tuesday before she died, the twin girls there, Megan and Maggie, were with her, and Stephen was with her, while the house group was going on in the lounge. And at the end, when everybody was going, Stephen was probably one of the last to leave, and he said to Sue, she was in the bed, she was very, very unwell. And he leaned over and he said, it's Stephen, Mum. Good night, Mum. Good night. And she sort of opened her eyes and smiled and said, good night, Stephen. So I said to her, it's Doug, Sue. Good night, sweetheart. She looked up, she said, oh, bugger off, she said. I should probably be up before the elders because of that. But that was Sue. She was rooted in reality. She was 100% person. And I thank God, Sue, because I remember your fervour and your fervency. Eunice, who's one of our friends, comes from the Romford area, Harold Hill, that way. And Eunice wrote something very special about Sue that I want to quote. She said, Sue was passionate. Passionate is a good word to sum Sue up, she said. I don't ever remember her being half-hearted about anything. A passion for her family, a passion for sport, a passion for running, but most of all, a passion for Jesus. That was Sue's fervent heart. And Dave, my good friend Dave, who's just sung, he wrote to me something, and he said in his letter about Sue, her amazing ability to use her athleticism and harness it to communicating her passion for the good news was undeniable. Her alignment with those in need and in raising awareness of the work in the Middle East will have established a legacy that will not be forgotten. And that's true. Sue was fervently committed and ready to stand with people on the margins of society and on the margins of the church. Like I think Stephen quoted about the lady in the church in London that we were in, and people said, don't have anything to do with her, she's trouble. And that was like a red rag to Sue. She made it her passion to commit herself to that lady. And that lady is still friends with us today. A lovely lady. Because Sue had a heart for the underdog. She had a heart for the underprivileged. And she was ready to take their side and to speak up for it. Because it was an expression of her fervor for Jesus. Her passion for Jesus. Sue, I thank my God every time I remember you for your faith in Jesus. Sue was raised in a strong Christian family with Pat and Helen, and sadly with Kate, who's gone before us. She was raised in a strong Christian brethren family. A family that was not religious, but committed to Jesus. And the broader family where missionaries had gone out, and some of them are here today who work for Wycliffe and work overseas as well. A family that loved Jesus and wanted to share him. And Sue, at the age of 13, committed her life to Christ. She was brought up in a family that where she knew about Jesus, but she didn't know him. And she came to know him at the age of 13 personally. And she grew in her faith when she went to Chelsea College of Physical Education in Eastbourne. She was actively part of the Christian Union, and she led that Christian Union, was president of that Christian Union, and it became a magnificent testimony in the life of that college. And she was a lady who was committed in faith to Jesus, and it was an active faith. Hers wasn't a stagnant faith, as you've heard already here today. She used our home just down the road here in Christchurch to start a number of ministries when we moved down here. And those ministries were Keep Fit, were Friends and Neighbours, were Mums and Babes, or Busy Bees as it's called now. It all started in our lounge back in Jumpers Avenue there. And when they grew too big, they were transferred down here to the church, because Sue was wanting to reach out constantly, and she'd grown up in a home which reached out and invited people in. She ran 3 marathons in order to raise funds for the ministry of New Heights in Lebanon. She wrote 3 books. She loved mentoring young women and sharing faith in Jesus with them. And as you've already heard, she memorized large chunks of the Bible, and she kept a journal. Every year she had a new journal in which she wrote her prayers and requests to God. And she would go back through those journals and see the answers to those prayers as well. You see, faith for Sue wasn't simply theological and academic, although she was bright in those areas. Faith for Sue was a living, walking, talking, real relationship with Jesus. And that's where she was. That was the lady she was. And people came to Jesus through her ministry. And they were strengthened and encouraged. One of the folk that we minister to over the phone on a regular basis is a lady called Judith. And Judith suffers from schizophrenia. And she will phone us. Sometimes she's phoned 10 times a day. And we would talk to her and we would pray with her. None of the calls were long. And over the years, Judith wrote this when she learned about Sue's death. She said, "Sue, you showed me how to follow the King of Kings." I think that's a great testimony. And the thing is this, that I was telling somebody today or yesterday, Judith, since Sue died, Judith has phoned me nearly every day to ask me how I am. And she's never once asked me to pray for her. She's always asked, "How can I pray for you, Doug?" That's the ministry that Sue's had with her over the phone. And even in the darkest moments of intense pain, Sue never faltered in her prayer life or in her confidence in God and his love for her. Because right up until the end, right up until 4:15 in the early hours of the Tuesday morning, the 9th of October, she focused on fulfilling God's purpose for her life. And she wanted that to be all the way, all the time. I thank God, Sue, for your faith. And I trust I will be able to match that faith in my own walk with God day by day. And the last thing I want to say before I want you to listen to a video. Thank God for your future, Sue. Every time I remember you, I thank you for your future. as I sat alongside the bed as Sue died on that Tuesday morning, I thought to myself this. When Sue died, Jesus, as it were, I think, in my own little way of thinking, Jesus looked down and saw the suffering that Sue was in, and he said, "My daughter, you've had enough. It's time to come home." And he called her home, and she went home. And in that morning, as it were, death wrote the last words on the last line in the last chapter of the book of her earthly life. But at the same time, death wrote the first words of the first line of the first chapter of her heavenly life. Because, sisters and brothers and ladies and gentlemen here today, death is not fatal for the believer. Why? Because we never say goodbye. We never say goodbye for the last time. And friends and family, if you love Jesus as Sue did, as I do, as many of you here do, then you will see her again. You will see her again. But if you don't have that living faith in Jesus, then maybe you won't see her again. She would want you to reach out to her Savior and to trust him, that you might follow him and enjoy him and the life he gives as she did. And I want you to look at this video. It's a special video that Sue and I loved. It's about 4 minutes long. It's a song being sung by Tanya Goodman Sykes. It's a song that was written by her father. And not long after he wrote it, he died. And she sings this song. And the old gentleman and the older lady that you'll see in the video are her grandfather and her grandmother. And she's singing this song, and it's called "Look for Me." And if you don't know Jesus as Sue knows Jesus, then you won't be able to say, "Look for me." And my heartfelt prayer this afternoon is this, that you will be able to say, "Look for me." Thank you, Tony.
So we come to the end of our service together. And as we do, I'm reminded of a tombstone in St. Paul's Cathedral. It's the tombstone of Sir Christopher Wren. And it's in Latin. And part of it says this, "Lecta si monumentum recres circum spicar." And you Latin scholars will know what that means. It says this, "Reader, if you seek his monument, look around you." Stand up. All of you, stand up. Everyone in the lounge at the back, you stand up as well. If you seek Sue's monument, look around you. Go on. Look around you. Those are the lives. These are the lives. Some of the lives that she has touched. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Sue, her life, her ministry, her love for each one of us, her grace, her care, her fun, even her naughtiness. And Lord, we pray that as we walk in the days to come, that we will continue to remember her life and her influence in our lives. Help us, Lord, to stay close to one another, to lift one another up in times of sadness. And we particularly pray for Doug, for Stephen, for Duncan, Sarah, Justine, the grandchildren, the wider family, that as they process through their grief, as they walk the dark path of the shadow of death, they'll know you walking with them and us walking with them. We pray your blessing on us now. We pray your blessing on them now. And the Lord just bless each one of you. Amen.